should take the class, but for the class, you do have to register. If you have any questions or anything else, and if someone has a mental health issue and they reach out to us, we try to get them the help they need, you know, to go on with their life. If you have any questions, you can reach out to us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone man the phone 24/7, but we do have someone checks at least 2 to 3 times a day, and we promise we will get back to you as soon as possible. Today, we are very fortunate and very pleased and privileged to have with us Patrick Mellon, who's a speaker, a state trainer, a group facilitator for NAMI New Jersey, and a board member of NAMI Somerset County, New Jersey. We also have Danielle Sicaro and Jamie Schaffitz. I said it right twice.
Yes.
And both of them are writers and producers of Effectively Schizo. I'd like to welcome you all here today and take the time out of your busy schedules for being with us, and I think it's great. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, Larry.
Danielle, we're going to start with you. If you'd be so kind to explain exactly what is Effectively Schizo and how did it get started?
All right. Well, I think, we'll also have Jamie sort of talk about this a little bit, too. She had asked me about... She was doing this project and wanted to know if I'd be interested. We had been talking about our relative mental illnesses, and she said, you know, I'm working on this thing, and do you want to come help? And I said, absolutely, that sounds amazing. So we just sort of hit the ground running, and she brought to the table what she had already written. We talked about it, we worked on it, and then we just sort of, you know, watched it sort of be birthed before our eyes, and it just sort of became this thing. So it feels very surreal and otherworldly to me. I've never really been involved in anything like this, and so it's really cool. I don't know if, you know, Jamie wants to talk a little bit more about how the idea initially got sort of, you know, formed.
Sure. So I was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder in 2012, and there's a whole journey with that I'm sure we can talk more about. But I really wanted to take my passion for, like, doing a web series, and I really was interested in doing something with comedy. And I wanted to combine that with, mental health and inspiring people that have these sometimes really serious mental health issues, and make it something that they could, like, take a deep breath and be like, okay, you know, things can be all right, you know? So that's what the inspiration for Effectively Schizo kind of came from.
And, yeah, they can be all right. Sometimes it takes one heck of a long time.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes after someone is all right, they crash again, you know?
Yeah.
Which I've seen happen many, many times through people that come to NAMI for support and what have you.
Let me just break in for a second here. When and where is it broadcast?
So we are currently at the ending process of the editing process. We're screening it on YouTube, and we have a premiere in Red Bank on November 20th at the Bowtie Cinemas. So it'll be up soon, and we're really excited to share it with the world.
Awesome. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
And the opening premiere at Bowtie Cinemas in Red Bank is open for everyone. We encourage anybody listening to come. It is on November 20th.
At 6 p.m.
And there is just a suggested donation of $20 at the door. You don't have to buy tickets in advance. Just come on down, and it's going to be a good time, a great night.
What is the name of the place that you're
going
over
at? Bowtie Cinemas.
Bowtie.
In Red Bank, New Jersey.
Okay.
And yeah, it'll be 6 o'clock. We have up to 130 seats, and we have about, you know, 30 people already interested, and some more that are coming. So we definitely.
I don't have to wear a bow tie, do I?
Do not. Oh. But you can.
Jamie, what is the purpose of mental health comedy and web series?
Yeah, so I there's a lot of things. I mean, there's, when I got diagnosed, I kind of, my therapist had recommended, my most recent therapist recommended a book by Alan Sachs called The Center Cannot Hold. She's a professor out in California with schizophrenia. And it was an amazing, amazing book. And it really helped me get through a lot of things. But I found, like, this, like, desire to combine my love for, like, things that are comical and just kind of, like, kind of being, growing up being a class clown. I felt kind of a tie to my healthy self with comedy before I was diagnosed, before all this happened. And that kind of, like, turned, I wanted to connect that to my present life. And so, yeah, I really found, I found some resources through the UCB, which is a school in New York. And I was really inspired by some people like the Broad City Girls and Sally Sunny in Philadelphia that kind of, like, took web series from grassroots from the start and kind of built it into something that was their own. So
I think that I've seen over the last 20 plus years that I've been involved with comedy that the more famous people who come out, Bruce Springsteen, you know, a lot of the other, Demi Lovato, Terry Bradshaw, got three gold rings from the, you know, from the Super Bowl, and, you know, has mental illness and is not afraid to talk about it. And people like that, I think the more people like that that come out, it helps crush the stigma. And there is a stigma attached to it. I mean, we've been fighting it for years. And it's, you know, it's sad because people don't realize the brain is an organ. It's, you got liver, you got lungs, you got, you know, kidneys. Yep. They all can get sick. So your brain can get sick. And that's what mental illness is. It's a chemical imbalance in the brain. I'm not a doctor, but that's what it is. Trust me. And, you know, it's like if my son had heart disease, everybody would be bringing food over and, oh, you want to ride the doctor, blah, blah, blah. He's paranoid schizophrenic. Nobody wants to know anything, you know.
Yeah.
You know? And it's sad. It really is.
Yeah.
Danielle, what is a common myth about mental illness, and can you debunk it?
Well, I don't know about the whole debunking part. I'm not any type of doctor or anything like that, but I think there's a lot of misconceptions as far as severity, and, like, you can have a mental illness and not know you have one. Okay. And sort of have this, you know, once you realize what it is and you start to put a name to something, you can start to understand it, and then you can start to, you know, find your way through it, and then, you know, maybe re-identify yourself as, you know, what something else is. I don't know. I think it's that, you know, there's so many misconceptions, and there's so, you know, having a diagnosis isn't a bad thing, and it's not a good thing. It just is. And, you know, it doesn't mean that you're going to stay that way. And I think that's sort of what we're trying to do with this web series is, you know, you can be a person in the world, and you can, you know, have a mental illness, and it's
have a good job.
Exactly.
And have a family and the online.
Yeah.
Life, you know.
Yeah. So it's, you know, there's so many things that are misconceived about mental health, and it's just, there's so many different kinds, and there's so many different people. It's almost like, you know, you as a person may have this diagnosis, but you're also your person, so it makes your diagnosis individual. And so, you know, it's, yeah.
You know, I tell a lot of people, look at the person beyond the illness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person there.
Yeah.
And they were there before the illness, and they'll be there after the illness.
Yeah.
So see the person, not just the illness. And also, you're all too young to remember, but way back, people always had an eccentric Aunt Edna or, you know, Uncle Bob, and they put them up in a cabin somewhere 100 miles from nowhere. Well, I bet money that they weren't eccentric, but they had a mental health issue. And, you know, families didn't want to deal with it. They had to get rid of it, you know. And unfortunately, today, there's still a lot of families like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the whole, you know, maybe they should be on medication, maybe they shouldn't have. And I think a misconception in that aspect is that it's hard to pin down one, because you have some people that are, you know, have this misconception that, you know, well, all they need to do is be on the right meds. And then it's like, well, yeah, sometimes. And then sometimes people shouldn't be on meds. And then sometimes people can start and then can get off of meds. Or so there's so many misconceptions. Like, it's such a it's such a misunderstood sort of thing. That's, we want people to just be aware that there's things.
Young lady in California who's I call every now and then to have her on the phone, and I call her. Mm-hmm. And she has mental health issues and all that. And we were talking one day on the phone, and she said she doesn't take medication. I said, okay, what do you do? She said, well, I run every day. And I forget what else. She runs and she does something else, some physical thing. And I said, well, that's great. Does it work? Yeah, well, keep doing it. You know?
Right.
I said, I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to prescribe medicine for you.
Exactly.
You know? But if that's great, go do it. I said, but just look that maybe down the road, years ahead, you might have to add a med to that exercise.
Yeah.
But until then, if it works, God.
Yeah, there's always a maintenance component to whatever you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. We have to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And we're very privileged to have with us today Patrick Mellon, Danielle Zaccaro, and Jamie Chaffetz. Wow, 3 times in a row I got her name. I'm proud of me. I got to have a candy after me. All right, Patrick, you've been sitting here nice and quiet for a while.
Oh, boy.
You're on the hot seat now.
What is your role in NAMI Somerset, New Jersey?
So with NAMI Somerset, I am, like you have said in my introduction, I'm a newly minted board member, and I am looking forward to being a positive contribution. I think I have some good ideas. I can have, you know, an interesting input into the the process of what we do. And in conjunction, I guess you could say, with NAMI Somerset and NAMI New Jersey, I run our NAMI Connection Recovery Support Group, which I know is a mouthful, so we just call it NAMI Connection. And that is about to have our one-year anniversary next month.
Okay. And would you explain what it is?
So NAMI Connection is a support group for anybody living with a mental illness, technically 18 or over.
Right.
And it is a place where you can come and find support in shared experience. And it's something that I really, really, truly believe in. And mm-hmm. I'm very passionate about it, is shared lived experience. I think that when it comes to mental health conditions and dealing with them on an everyday basis, there is no power greater than the shared lived experience. The example that I always use is, okay, we come together in the group and, you know, I have this problem. It's my roommate is not cleaning the kitchen, and he won't talk to me, and I'm really, really, really anxious about it. I don't know how to approach him. It's really making me, you know, anxious and uncomfortable, and it's you know, increasing my stress. Well, the guy across the table says, well, you know what? I had that in college, and this is how I dealt with it.
Right.
And that is just an example of how people coming together to solve common problems work.
Less like with our family support groups. Is the same thing, because they're all people who have someone either in their family or, you know, work with someone or good friends with someone or married to someone who have a mental health issue. And, you know, they'll say this and this and this is going on. Well, somebody will say, well, I had that. And, you know, like you saying, and this is what I did. And, you know, it's like those that have children that are no longer children. My youngest son is 42. So he's no longer a child, but he, you know, when we talk about the issues over the years, well, we did this or we did that, you know, and we could help people. And it's what it is. It's just changing ideas from, you know, what worked for you. May not work for everybody else, but you can try it. That's the whole point of what you're saying, you know.
Absolutely. And I'm happy to say that in Somerset we have a family support group that, like you were just talking about.
Right.
And we're lucky enough that we got space in the same building, so we run it at the exact same time, same day. So if you have a family member and they're looking for support as well,
right,
you can bring that family member, and you guys, we go in separate rooms, separate right, parts of the building,
right,
and it's really convenient for people who
right,
like to do that.
Right.
Now, Patrick,
go ahead.
What do you do on the state level? I understand you're a state trainer.
So with NAMI New Jersey, I was obviously trained as a Connection Recovery Support Group leader, and I went to Training the Trainer early in the year. I think it was April. And it was to become a state trainer for our In Our Own Voice speaker program.
Okay.
I'm also a speaker for the program. That actually was my first connection to NAMI New Jersey, and actually my first connection to mental health advocacy.
We should talk about what the In Your Own Voice is just quickly. What is that?
Sure. So the In Our Own Voice program is where we have a set of speakers, and they are trained to have a portion of their personal story with their journey with mental health. And what we do is we go out into the community. We bring the speakers out into the community. We take any opportunity we can get to bring people out. I was just at a Universalist church last week. A few weeks before that, I was in a Mom and Tots recovery center for mothers struggling with addiction. We do police departments, first responders, really anywhere we can get out to show that we are people living with mental illness, and we are not that mental illness. We have a story. We have a successful story, and that's what I think that bringing hope into the equation is part of.
Do you show the movie and then stop and tell your part of the story?
Yeah. So the actual breakdown of it is we do an introduction. We do a little bit about NAMI itself, and then we run our video. And the video, the whole thing is broken down into three parts. It's called What Happened, what helps, and what's next. So what happened is our personal story and our struggle. It used to be called Dark Days in the old old videos. And after that, we do what helped. And that is what got you out of those days, what do you do now, what about therapy, what tools do you use. And then, like I was saying, with hope, we add in the last portion what's next. And that is, what are your successes? Where are you going now? You know, what's next for you? And it really ends on that really great positive note. And that's the portion that I love.
Right. Well, when you do a family classes, they have someone come in in our own voice and do it. In fact, one of my best friends does it. And, you know, it's like, and people say, oh, well, you know, they have mental illness. Well, he has a mental illness, and he's a chief financial officer for a large corporation, you know, so it's like, you know, but it's great. It you know,
it's really a fantastic program.
It really helps to remove the stigma, I'm thinking.
It is absolutely one of the stigma
the best
buster
ways.
Tools.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll get back to you, Patrick, in just a second.
All right.
Okay.
If either one of you, doesn't matter, or you both can do it. If you see someone, or you know, tell someone who is struggling, what do you tell someone who is struggling with a mental health issue?
Like, if someone has a severe mental illness and it's something that they're overwhelmed by, I would say first to get resources and to get help that not only therapy, like, I know for if you have health insurance or if you don't have health insurance, there's, like, a lot of free programs out there. Like, if you can do something to get help where you feel like you're being seen and you feel like the doctor's actually addressing you and not just, like, shoving you out the door with medication to make you fall asleep or, you know, not that I didn't have doctors like that per se, but so I would say that is one thing. Like, you know, do some reading, find role models that you can that really can inspire you. And then, like Patrick was saying, don't give up hope. Like I was talking about, I was reading and getting inspired about hope this weekend and just like how that you could, if you come from a really like desperate, a place of desperation, like hope can really be something that is inspiring for the future of your life.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. And I would add to that, that you don't need to figure it out on your own. I think that's sort of the point. Depending on what, I have anxiety and depression, and so a lot of times you sort of insulate and you sort of feel like, and then I'm also, you know, introverted as well. So I tend to, you know, hang up by myself or whatever. And so when you're in that place, you're like, well, you know, I'm not going to talk to anyone. I'll just, you know, I'm just going to stay here. It'll be fine. I'll figure out. But like, sometimes just talking to somebody, even if you don't like talking, if you find that person you connect with, and I would say that, you know, your first try might not always be the best. So the thing with therapists is, you know, you need to establish a relationship, and it doesn't offend them if you don't connect with them. So, you know, it's, you're your best advocate, and you really have to just, you know, you have to just know that you can do it, basically.
Right. And what role models do you have that inspire your mental health journey and the web series that you're creating?
I have something that's a little more common, I guess, among, you know, people who don't know much anxiety, depression. I can't necessarily pinpoint somebody that I'd be like, oh yeah, wow, since they did this, you know, I feel better. It was more of a, you know, so I kind of like the idea of putting something out there that I can at least relate to on some level. And then, because when you see yourself reflected, you sort of feel better about it. So I know that Jamie does have individuals. I don't really have anybody specific.
Two of my role models were from, I was talking about before, from the web series that they did in New York, Abby Jacobson and Lana Glazer. They talk about mental health in their comedy series as well, about depression and being on depression meds. And it's okay if you have to take a little bit more in the winter or when you're feeling down. And they also created a web series out of literally nothing. They're amazing. And I just think that it's just really cool to just give yourself permission to do a project that you feel is like, so cool, but and so much like you don't even know what it involves, and you're just throwing yourself into it, and you're kind of just like well, I guess I'm here. I'm going to do it. So they would be my role models for like comedy stuff and mental health. And then Ellen Sachs also, who I talked about before.
Right. Mm-hmm. Patrick, anybody you want to?
So as far as role models go, I think that I don't know if they're going to be listening or not. And I'm pretty sure that they don't know this. When I was talking about before, my first outreach to NAMI New Jersey was through the In Our Own Voice program. And after I heard stories and the lives of two people at NAMI New Jersey, actually one is now with DRA, the Disability Rights. So that would be Elena Kravitz, and the other one is Jay Udoff. He makes his rounds, right?
Yep.
And they really showed me where I could come from and where I could go to. And it was my first contact with other people in the adult world with a, successful right. careers and all right. this stuff. And right now, after reading the book, I'm sure many people know about it, Kay Redfield's Jameson's An Unquiet Mind, her story going into actually the world of psychiatric care and being so successful at it is inspiring to me, and it's something that I'm looking to do now.
Yeah. Well, Jay Udall does the In Our Own Voice.
He does.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah, because he just sent out an email about it.
Yep.
He was looking for one or two more people to do it, So.
How much comedy, jumping ahead to the effectively schizo, how much comedy is this? How funny is this going to be?
It makes us laugh. I mean, when we're editing and watching it right now, and we all got together in my apartment and kind of watched it, and we're just like giggling because it's just like very silly.
We did the table read, and we had people laughing there as well. I think it's some of it is going to be a little tongue in cheek. Like, I don't know if it's going to be necessarily laugh out loud. I think it'll be like humorous, and then some of it really is just goofy and funny. And so comedy is subjective, ultimately, but I think we think it's pretty funny.
And do you think comedy helps the audience break down their barriers? They sort of connect more with somebody?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think comedy is a number one unifier. I think if you can laugh together, then you have a common ground to work from. And it makes it so that you sort of bring an idea, but sort of the point we're trying to get to is that it's not doom and gloom. It's just, you just are a person and you have to laugh. And if you can't laugh at yourself, then, what can you laugh at?
Have you, any of you, had to deal with a suicide in any way, shape, or form? Somebody you knew or somebody you had a, because it seems like in the last 18 months around here in Hunterdon County, there's been, I think, 3 suicides in high school. Mm-hmm. And it just tears me up, actually. Mm-hmm. The last one was a 15-year-old girl. And here's somebody with her whole life ahead of her and is so down. And either couldn't get help or they didn't recognize it or whatever the case may be. But something has to change. It really does. That's just, unfortunate. And
yeah, I dealt with, I had a acquaintance, I don't know what to call it. I don't know, we weren't great friends, but in high school, and he took his life when he entered college, and he was going to a really prestigious school and had no pressure from his family, actually. It was all this internal pressure to be the valedictorian, to be the best. I had dreams about it for a long time. It's just painful to think about someone going through that. And
right.
And like, I just, it's just a difficult thing for the families and everyone to deal with. And it's nothing that, I hope that this can maybe even just this stuff can bring, help to people who are feeling depressed as well.
Sure.
I actually had, I won't say any names, but I had someone come up to me after our reading at NAMI Monmouth, and she said, you know, my husband has been going through depression, and he hasn't been able to laugh in a long time, and he actually laughed tonight, and that was really special for her, and that really moved me, like that. Sure. That made me, yeah.
You know, people ask me, you've been doing this for many years. You're not a kid anymore, you know, my age. You can figure it out. My youngest son is 42, and I got four kids, so, you know. But they say, why do you keep doing it? And my thing is what you just said. If I can help one person or one family, then it's all worthwhile. All the time and effort put into it is worthwhile.
Yeah, and I mean, for me, I had never thought about it as if I were going to actively do it, but I would, like, ponder the idea kind of thing. And unfortunately, sometimes a bunch of people can reach out to you, and it's not going to be the right person. So you just have to, like, for me, I had a teacher in high school, and I was, like, telling her about, you know, this girl that I liked, and, like, I don't know what I'm going to, you know, what should I do? And then so she was like, you know, ultimately, after our conversation, she's like, the school has counselors. I really honestly think that you should go up. But, like, I had my mom tell me that I should go to counseling, and I wasn't listening to her. So it's sometimes it's just the right person has to reach out. Right. But as long as you have people that will, you know, even it might not seem like it makes a difference if they don't, you know, act on your advice or they don't do. Right. But, like, it is, you know, germinating, whatever right. that word is. It's right. it's growing in there, and then you just
right.
have to...
And it's right. at the right... It's not only the right person, but the right time.
Exactly.
Too.
Right. Exactly. We have to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Help make your community safer. Hunterdon County Crime Stoppers is a community-based program aimed at making our community safer by providing an avenue for citizens to anonymously report criminal activity. It provides monetary rewards if the information leads to an arrest and indictment. See something, say something, and get cash for your anonymous tip. Call or text 1-800-321-0010 or go online to www.crimestoppershunterdon.com.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We are with three lovely people, Patrick Mellon, Danielle Zaccaro, and Jamie Chaffetz. Four times?
Yeah.
All right. Boy, I got to pat myself on it. I got to eat two candies when we get home. What is coming up for Effectively Schizo in the near future?
So we have, like we discussed in the beginning of this broadcast, we have the release of our pilot episode. It's going to be on November 20th in Bowtie Cinemas in Red Bank, at 6 p.m. We also have we're going to be screening our pilot at a conference, the New Jersey Psychiatric Rehabilitation Association, November 14th at the Pines Manor in Edison, New Jersey. And then after that, we're writing episode two. So we're going to keep the ball rolling with that.
Well,
so.
How long, like you do episode one, how long do you play it or you plan on running it before you put up the second one?
I guess when we can get the second episode up is when we will play the episode.
When you get everything written down.
We started writing. We had a writer's meeting a week and a half ago or so. So we started writing episode two already. So.
How many writers are there besides you two and the fellow that couldn't make it today?
It's the four of us. That was the original cast. And then we've also brought on Carla as well, who's another one of the writers.
Okay. I was just curious, you know, how many it takes, you know.
Yeah.
And where do you film this?
The first episode we filmed in three locations. We had a pharmacy in Manalapan. We had the Red Bank Library. And then we had a therapist's office in Red Bank as well.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're going to move around.
Yeah, we're going to, wherever we can go, wherever the story takes us is where we'll be.
On the three of you, on your journeys here, is there any resources that actually helped you get to where you're at?
Yeah, I mean, like I had mentioned, there was counseling services in my school. I went to Ocean Township High School, and so the Department of Human Services has people that go into the school. And then I was in Ocean for a good portion of my life up until I went to college, and so I utilized their mental health services as well. There was other, centers, and I went to a place in Neptune. So basically, those were the resources that I had, teachers and
right.
people around
right.
me.
Right.
Yeah, and then I, take medication. I would say that's a pretty good resource as well.
That is.
I was just going to say, when I was going to see doctors that were kind of pushing me out the door with medication, that was a really disheartening time of my life. And if you have the ability to find a doctor that is maybe out of network, or I can barely afford my doctors. It's so expensive, but. It really is life-changing, and it really is something that can empower you to feel like you're a person again, that you're not just an illness, or you're not mm-hmm. just someone that has to be a medication to function as,
right.
like that. So,
right.
yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and kind of echoing what you guys both said is in high school, I obviously wasn't ready. I needed help and I needed treatment, but I wanted nothing to do with a mental illness. And I fought it and fought it and fought it, and then until I was in college, and I decided to learn more about it. And like we said earlier, figuring out that mental illness is a medical illness was kind of a turning point for me in college. And then I went to see a counselor, and they referred me to a local psychiatrist, and we started that process. And so those two in college were basically where I started and where mm-hmm. I finally
right.
got the right help that I needed.
Right, right. What other advocacy work do you do?
So for me, other than all the stuff with NAMI New Jersey, I also in 2017 I was diagnosed with a rare life-threatening lung and heart disease called pulmonary arterial hypertension. Mm. And
I've heard of it.
It's extremely rare. And so there is an organization called the Pulmonary Hypertension Association. And kind of like when I was going through my mental illness and trying to find something, I found NAMI.
Right.
And I realized that advocacy is a tool, is an outlet, is part of who I am
mm-hmm.
now.
Right.
And I found this group, this association, and they had the same kind of advocacy for it. And all of a sudden, I was a support group leader for people with pulmonary hypertension. And I co-lead two support groups for it, one in Morris County and one in Somerset County.
Yeah.
So, that's another portion of advocacy that I am really passionate about.
That's good.
So do you take medication for that?
Yes, I take several medications. They're heavy-duty medications. They're not things that you can get at the pharmacy. They're things that a home nurse had to come for 6 months and teach me how to use. And, getting on them, getting off of them, it's been another journey of medication management.
Right, because you have to manage two different diagnoses or two different types of medicine.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's if you saw me, if you knew me in 2017 and you knew me now, you wouldn't think I was the same person. I'm literally 1,000% better. In 2017, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs without having to sit down. I couldn't make the bed. I couldn't do the laundry. And I was ended up in the hospital for 10 days. And until I got on the right treatments, and here I am.
Wow. Oh. Great. Fantastic. What advice do you have for someone who is struggling right now?
The best advice I would give someone is to, I mean, it's to really, I mean, we were talking about hope a lot, but like really hold on to that and hold on to the fact that it, like, I know it's kind of a buzz phrase, but like it can get better, but like it really can. And, just find, like, do everything you can to find the resources to get your best help, and like really pursue things that interest you, because that will take you out of your mind and take you out of almost like away from your illness, like a vacation away when you're doing these things, because you're like, wow, I feel so like enthralled and so passionate about what I'm doing that I feel like a person in this world. So I'd say to pursue those things that really set you on fire would be something that I would say.
Yeah, and I would say take the little wins, because I think especially now there's a lot of, you know, 24/7 everything's on all the time pressure, and you know, I have to live up to this idea that I have of myself. But sometimes, I mean, you know, I was able to create a job that I can work from home and I can basically do whatever. So I'm fortunate enough to be able to say, you know, I got up and took a shower today, and that's cool, and I'm happy with that, and that's a victory. And then, you know, oh, I'm going to exercise tomorrow, and that's good. And so sometimes you just take those little things, and that's good enough. And, you know, you don't have to put all this pressure on yourself to, you know, do a million things and live up to someone else's idea.
Right. A lot of times people would like you to do X, but you can't do X at that point.
Yeah, well, and you know, with the anxiety part, I'll tend to sometimes like spiral and then like catastrophize, and then you're right. So it's sometimes even just slow down and not think about the future and just think about like what you're going to do in an hour. And so it's sort of like, I don't know, take it easy. I think would be my advice.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You know.
And yeah, I really can't. I don't have much more, because that's some of the best advice that I give is, you know, number one, there is always hope. Never give up. Find the resources. There are resources out there. I know that it's something that'd be hard to talk about, but there are people out there just like you who want to talk to you and want to talk, you know, about the things that are affecting you. So come to a connection group. You know, find the therapist, you know, the doctors that you need, the right medical treatment. And you know, I don't know what else I can say, actually.
You know,
that's a lot. You've said a lot.
You know, it's interesting. We had a lady on the radio who's local and has a horse farm, and vets come to her, and a lot of the vets won't talk to each other about their issues and so on, but they'll take a horse and they'll walk around and talk to the horse, because the horse isn't going to talk back. You know, may growl or snort or something, but it's not going to talk back to them. And it's helped them, you know. And as they progress, sometimes they'll have a dinner or whatever, you know. But it's talking to the horse, you know, and walking the horse around and grooming it, and you know, and
yeah, you have to learn yourself. I mean, sometimes people process stuff internally. I talk to people externally. I just process, and I have to say it out loud. It doesn't matter if it's a person or an animal.
Right. No, true. Yeah. And lady was on a couple weeks ago from Fort Lee, I believe it was, and it's called Vets Chat and Chew. And they do this thing for 5 weeks, and the vets come with their families. Either they can be active military or, you know, retired or whatever. And they come with their family, and they have a chef there that teaches them a recipe and cooks it, and they help cook it. And then they all sit down and eat it, you know, and whatever's left over they take home.
And they do this for 5 weeks. And it's like, it helps them, you know. It helps them socialize with people again. It helps them, you know, forget about some of the things that happened and concentrate on, you know, where do we go from here, you know. And it's pretty cool, I thought, you know.
And that's like what you said is absolutely important. Find what works for you. There are right. so many different things out there that you can find. Like equine therapy is right. it's newer, but it's right. it's successful for
and
so
if
many
it works,
people.
You know?
Exactly. Whatever it is, as long as it's positive.
Right.
You know, if it works, do it. Keep doing it. You know?
Like I told the girl in California. You know,
yeah.
if running works for you, do it. You know, it's you know, hey, if it's working, that's great. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, medication and therapy are not the only two tools in the toolbox.
No. And sometimes people can get past their illness without medication by doing certain things, you know.
Yes.
And a lot of times they can. A lot of times they have to take medication. You know, my son's on, I don't know, about 6 different medications mm-hmm. when it comes to the epilepsy and, you know, all the other jazz. But he's doing fine right now, mm-hmm. you know. And he's like you guys. You know, doing fine, you know, and that's wonderful, you know. So if that works, you do it, you know. And so is there any personal information that you think people would like to know?
I mean, I said in the beginning, I don't know if people have tuned in the whole time, but what I experienced, my diagnosis was called schizoaffective disorder, which is a little rare, but it's coming more, I don't know, more mainstream, I guess. But it's schizophrenia mixed with, this is like one of the quotes from the web series, but schizophrenia mixed with bipolar. And that is like a very kind of like broad and like uh-huh. scary kind of diagnosis when you first get it. But yeah, it's just, it doesn't have to be. And it really just is something that can be, like we're saying before, like we're saying this whole time, you can just live a normal life and you can have your quirks, and it doesn't have to be so scary if you have that, if you have any of that, or if you have other things,
right.
you know.
Right. I mentioned earlier about Demi Lovato.
Right.
She used to stay up 3-4 days at a time and write songs. She'd write 8 songs in a night and, you know, and think that was normal. You
yeah.
know? And it's not, but you know.
You know, and having bipolar 1, I understand that completely. It's one of the, you know, those traps that
right.
you know, mania feels great, it feels wonderful, you love it, and that's why you keep going and keep going. But the reason that I mention it is just because I wanted to, you know, say that when I was 16 years old, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and I'm 34 now. So, you know, I've gone through a lot of this experience stuff, and, you know, I've had my ups and downs, and I still have downs, and I'm sure that there will be for the rest of my life. But accepting it, just that, accepting that diagnosis for me was a major life changer. So, you know, find the help that you need. Absolutely.
Right. And not only that, but even people without mental illness get down.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
absolutely.
They break up with their girlfriend, or they crack up their new car, or whatever the case may be, and they go down. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody that does it has a mental health issue, but everybody has depression at one time or another. Everybody gets anxious at one time or another. You know, someone said to me, "Well, what do you mean by anxious?" Well, if you're going to go on a job interview, your first job interview, you know, people get anxious. You know, it's just the way it is. You know, you're going to buy a house. People get anxious, you know, before you close on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I would say that understanding mental illness helps everyone because it helps you sort of frame those. Because just because we, you know, somebody has the full extreme of something
right.
doesn't mean that we all don't have those qualities of
right.
it.
Right. All right, if someone wanted to reach out for more information or support your cause or whatever, is there a web page, phone number, Facebook, something?
Yes, we have most of that, except for the phone number, or you can just call us. If you I'm not going to give out my number, but we have our website. It's www.effectivelyschizo.com. Do you want to spell that out? Or
yeah.
EFFECT. V-I... Effective T-I-V-E-L-Y. Sorry. Had a little brain fart.
With an E.
With an E. Schizo, S-C-H-I-Z-O.com. And then we have a Facebook. It's at Effectively Schizo, spelled the same way. Instagram, at Effectively Schizo. And Twitter is at Schizo Series. We also have an email address, which we just got started, is effectivelyschizoseries@gmail.com. And then, yeah, our website redirects you to our GoFundMe page right now. So that's for if you'd like to donate, that's going towards episode two.
Yeah, and also when you go to our website, like Jamie said, it will bring you to a GoFundMe page. But that page is also where we have all of more information on the series. So okay. Please go to it. You don't have to donate, but it is where you can find out a whole lot more about Effectively Schizo.
Yeah, as the resident web developer, we're working on the website, so it won't always redirect to the GoFundMe. So you can keep that URL, and that'll be updated.
Okay.
And we should also repeat the date of your premiere.
Yes, that's November 20th at the Bowtie Cinemas in Red Bank, New Jersey at 6 p.m. You don't need to buy any tickets in advance. There's a suggested donation of $20 at the door, but if you don't have that, come anyway. Come and join for a laugh and for a meaningful discussion, a conversation about mental health and how you can be involved.
Great. Okay.
That is awesome, and I was serious about having you guys back.
Yeah. Awesome.
No, seriously, I mean it. We do want you coming back. Right now, Patrick and Danielle and Jamie, we thank you for coming and taking the trip.
Thank
to
you
come
very much.
Thanks for having us.
Down here to South.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And remember, folks, we'll be here. We won't be here next week. We'll have a rewind on next week. I'll be in New Hampshire, and Tracy's doing something. I don't know. I forget what. But she's doing something. And we'll be back in 2 weeks. Same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you in 2 weeks.
What do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heidi and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Last week, President Trump announced that he would host next year's G7 summit at his Doral Resort in Miami. Now, this drew criticism from both sides of the political aisle. So over the weekend, the president announced that he would no longer host a G7 summit at Doral. The president on Monday explains why he wanted to host the G7.
I own a property in Florida. I was going to do it at no cost or give it free if I got a ruling, because there's a question as to whether or not you're allowed to give it, because it's like a contribution to a country. I'd have to get a ruling. But I would have given it for nothing. It's a lot of money I would have given away. Like I give away my salary. I give away my salary.
A last-minute settlement has been reached by four drug manufacturers to avoid going to trial over the opioid crisis. The trial was set to begin on Monday as Ohio's Cuyahoga and Summit counties were seeking $8 billion for treatment programs and health care expenses. This is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents...
And Doug.
Limu, when we're not telling people that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need, I've actually been moonlighting as a DJ. What? Check it! Here's the good part!
Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
An official message from Medicare.
It's open enrollment, Fred. Time to compare plans.
Oh, Alice, we're fine with what we have.
Well, that's what the Johnsons thought until they tried Medicare's new Plan Finder.
The Johnsons, huh?
We saved on our prescription costs.
And got extra benefits. Come on, Fred, maybe we'll find something better.
Plans change every year. Use the new Plan Finder at Medicare.gov to compare health and drug plans. Open enrollment ends December 7th.
What do you know? Comparing plans really pays.
Dallas is trying to figure out the strength of a tornado that went through the city late Sunday night.
I talked to National Weather Service. They're actually out there right now, their teams, doing the assessment to see if it was an EF1 or 2.
Office of Emergency Management Rocky Vaz did not reveal when the National Weather Service might make a ruling on the tornado's strength. Another medical study claims plant-based diets are safer. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details.
Mayo Clinic researchers linking high consumption of dairy with an increased risk of prostate cancer. The research published in the Journal of the American Osteopathic Association finding there was decreased risk of prostate cancer associated with plant-based diets. The researchers reviewing 47 studies comprising more than a million total participants to understand the risks of prostate cancer associated with plant-based and animal-based foods.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root, the conservative warrior. My show War Now airs every day right here on USA Radio from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern. I'm also the star of the Wayne Allyn Root Show on Newsmax TV, reaching over 50 million homes. But my favorite role is speaker extraordinaire. I was opening speaker at many Donald Trump for President events. I speak at Republican, conservative, and college GOP events, and I'm available to be the star at your next event. Contact me to arrange for a Wayne Root keynote speech. Call toll-free 888-444-ROOT. That's 888-444-ROOT. Or email wayneroot@gmail.com.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
How do Democrats really feel about ICE? A new poll found out, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the findings.
Some liberals using it as a rallying cry for November's elections, but a new poll finds only a quarter of Democrats support eliminating immigration and customs enforcement. Though even though they don't want to fully dismantle ICE, 57% of the Democrats surveyed in the Associated Press poll view the agency negatively, including three-quarters who describe themselves as liberal. Overall opinions about ICE are divided along those partisan lines. While a majority of Democrats view the agency negatively, Republicans largely have favorable views of ICE.
A federal judge on Monday granted a preliminary injunction to a coalition of states seeking to block a Texas-based company from posting online blueprints for how to make 3D guns. The ruling followed an initial temporary restraining order that was granted in late July. You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290.
800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Rick Davis, Senator John McCain's former presidential campaign manager and family spokesman, read a farewell statement today from Senator McCain at a press conference in Phoenix, Arizona.
We are 325 million opinionated, vociferous individuals. We argue and compete and sometimes even vilify each other in our raucous public debates. But we have always had so much more in common with each other than in disagreement. If only we remember that and give each other the benefit of the presumption that we all love our country, we will get through these challenging times. We will come through them stronger than before. We always do. 10 years ago, I had the privilege to concede defeat in the election for president. I want to end my farewell to you with heartfelt faith in Americans that I felt